I feel like God is doing a transfer of anointing in this house. And I'm going to say this, if you listen to prophetic words, prophetic people, you're going to hear this message for the next couple, 3 weeks from people that hear in the spirit. It is really funny when I preach something that I feel like is prophetic and it's for the body of Christ altogether, I always hear it from a number of other ministers. I hear the same thing, sometimes the same title, and I feel like this is going to be resounded across the body of Christ. But it's called Pick Up the Mantle. All right? I do want to say this very briefly. This is an apostolic house. That means we do things probably different than we've seen. And as we go forward in building this house, it's not going to look the same as other places. There might not be this perfectly laid out plan. We're going to have to just figure out where we're going some of the time by prayer. Julie and I have spent years warring over this house, along with a number of you, and we are here right now, and there is a shift that's going on. I believe it is time for what God told me years ago when he said the Joshuas will take the land. The Joshuas will take the land. And I see a number of Joshuas that are picking things up and picking up the mantle. Caleb already talked about that he started picking this mantle up a number of weeks back. And I knew I was supposed to pray for him, but I hadn't yet. My mind always thinks, oh, ceremony, do it this way. And the Lord just wanted me to pray for him because he started having problems in his body, problems with his mind. I mean, things just come on him, and it's because I had not released the mantle to him. And I prayed for him, and when I did, things changed. And I want to do that here today. Some of you are called to pray over this situation. I'll get into that here in a minute. The passing of the mantle. A mantle simply is a coat. It's a cloak. It's an outer garment. Elijah transferred and passed his mantle onto Elisha. And there were a number of things that happened with it. That outer garment simply in the natural protects people from the elements. When you do a God mantle, that mantle protects you from spiritual elements. It actually brings an anointing with it. There's massive amounts that happen with this, with the transference of it. And when I look out here, I see a number of you that have been prepared and called to pick this mantle up. There is not going to be a shortage in this house of people who can bring forth a transformation word. I look around, I see it, Dustin, Ben, Caleb, Jeremy's called to preach. Man, they're just not a shortage, and I'm not even hitting it all. Julie, Christy, Andy, these people would be rock stars, every one of them, leading any other church. The revelation, the power, the things that are built in them. Others of you carry heart healing, physical healing. You carry gifts, reuniting gifts. You carry gifts to reach out. Maggie's amazing at it. There are so many gifts in this body, and it's not just one gift that I'm telling pick the mantle up. I'm telling every one of you that are called to this body, pick the mantle up. God is about ready to do amazing things here. And we've prayed about it. I will encourage you, if you feel like that word hits you with a, haven't we heard this a while? Then you probably put your expectations outside of God's timing, because God's timing is always right. Sometimes our expectations and our lack of patience, I guess, wants God to hurry sometimes. And I'm just telling you, God, I find this, that by the time God gets there, a lot of times, a lot of you have already been there waiting, willing, set up camp, and now you're thinking, I've got to pick my camping stuff up and go. I've been waiting here for a long time. I feel like that sometimes, and I know that, but I'm calling you to come up. Let's go. I don't even know what that let's go means. I just know that there's a transference of the mantle, okay? This mantle is needed to cover you because when you go forth without the protection and the coverage, you won't have the anointing and you won't have the protection. It's huge to have that. It took years just to build and to gather that cloak, that mantle. I've spent years, I don't look at the years that we've spent. We've celebrated 25 years. I don't look at the years we've spent as wasted and where did we go and this place did this. And I don't even care what everybody else does. I know we're here at the exact right time. God's prepared things as a base in us. So I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 through 20. I want to read this. I've got quite a bit of scripture, so let's go through this. First of all, this is 1 Kings. It says, the Lord said to him, he's talking to Elijah, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you've arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. Watch this. Look at the gifts here. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehalath. Why they name their people this way? You shall anoint as prophet in your place. So you've got three people that are being anointed to take Elijah's place. And it shall come about, verse 17, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. I want you to see this because I think it's important to understand that God's got all the bases covered. There are multiple anointings in here, and one anointing might escape the eye of this gift, but this gift's got him. This gift might not see what's going on, but this gift has it. We've already started setting up some preliminary meetings with some of the gifts here in the church. We've already started setting those up, and I've met with them, and some of them got more to go. But I just also want to tell you that I see a camaraderie of the gifts like I haven't seen before. I'm going to be real honest with you. It's been hard for me to work with a group of people, but this group, it's not going to be hard because the respect for a gift that you don't understand is so ingrained in this group that it just amazes me. And it's good. We need to recognize that God has put other gifts in here, and they might look different than ours. They might react different. But when the enemy escapes my look, they've got him because he doesn't escape them. They've got their eye on him, and they've been trained to see that. When a need comes up and this gift doesn't see it, this gift will see it. God has placed in this body. God told me a number of years ago, he said, I'm going to do a filtering in those that I leave with you. You can trust their heart. And I do, 100%. I see it. It's amazing. I see the things coming up. I see the growth of things. So I'm going to go to verse 18. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pair of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him, and he threw his mantle on him. That's huge important. It's massively important. At this specific time, Elisha did not just jump into the ministry. There was a process where he followed Elijah, and he learned from him. Okay? So I want to say this. I loved what Christy said in here. Perfection is not needed to carry out your gift. I will say this to you. God is going to teach some of you things. And please understand this. Everybody listen to this. It's so important, especially if you're part of the Elisha crew, if you're part of the new mantle. Please understand this. You're going to see something fail in front of you, or you're going to see it not work the way you think it works, or you're going to see you get attacked in certain areas. Don't let your mind say, I failed, but let it be a place where the Lord shows you maybe a place where you need to tighten ship up here. I am telling you that I was far from perfect when I started preaching. God called me to preach 6 months after I was saved. And even when we started this church, I had much to learn. I had much to develop. I had to look at different things in me, through me, around me, and I had to fix them, adjust them, learn this, maybe do this. I had to learn to use my faith. I had to develop more. So God isn't going to allow you to go under, even though the enemy is going to try and condemn you, because there's an opening. There's a place you need to use your faith. I'm just telling you this. I don't know about you, but God made. He threw me and Julie under a debt load at first. He threw us under a debt load of a house. And when we first started this church, and that debt load almost broke me sometimes. It had me out in the front yard not understanding, because I didn't know how we were going to pay our bills. And it had me walking up in front in my front yard saying, God, I don't understand. You told me to build this house. I don't see how we're going to pay our bills, God. How is this happening? And I would just sit there and question him. But it taught me faith. You can't shake me by money right now. And you say, well, if I had your money, it wouldn't shake me either. You can't imagine the pressure that comes with money. If you think your faith is insufficient, if you don't have money, you wait till you get money and watch what your faith tries to tell you. You need faith. A lot of us want God to send us money so we don't have to use our faith. And God's not going to do that. He wants to teach us faith first. Take your lack of need, look up at him, and develop faith by just telling him, I trust you. I don't see it, but I'm hanging on. I trust you. And do you know what? Julie and I have never had a bill unpaid. We've paid cars off early. When we didn't know where it was coming from, how it was going to happen, we were faithful in our finances. We were faithful in our tithes. We were faithful to God. We obeyed. We looked. We might have made a mistake here. We received grace to fix that mistake. And God always supplied all of our needs and abundantly. He always does. So understand that you're going to see holes. And I want to read this out of 1 Timothy and show you something here. These are not, so I'm not going to call them leadership qualifications. I'm going to call them leadership qualities. Because you don't need to be qualified, but some of you are going to lack in these. I still lack in some of them. And you're going to lack in them. But they're not qualifications before, they're qualities to acquire during. Is that good? Qualities to acquire during your walk. Do you know that some of the things that you need to shore up, that you need to learn, that you need to trust him deeper, they're not going to be exposed until you step out. And when you step out, hell's standing there. Your faith needs to take a new level. Your eyes need to come open a little brighter. Things need to transpire, and they can't until you step out. I wish God had just stuck me away somewhere for a year and prepared me for it all, but he didn't. He said, walk and I'll walk with you. You're going to screw up, but my grace is sufficient. You're going to open the door and I'm going to close the door through my grace. You're going to doubt and I'm going to be bigger than your doubt while I give you multiple times to learn how to trust me and be in faith. That's where grace comes in. Thank God for grace. Dude, where would we be without his grace? I even even in the last 2 years, I was sitting there going, God, I'm worried so much, and I've done this, and God, look at this. I'm so pathetic, God. And I was just telling him. I was being open. I thought I was being really, you know, kind of like, hey, I'm admitting it, God. I'm bad, and I'm pathetic, and I just don't have any faith, and why, and all of this. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you're not going to do anything without my grace. You just will get used to it. You know what? That just is... That's a new fresh breath there. His grace. Know that. So when we read this, understand it's places to develop in. First Timothy says this. It's a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it's fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate. Boy, that one was a hard one for me. Still working on that one, that temperate part right there. I do good until I drive. I have figured this out, though. This was real eye-opening. It's my impatience and not their dumb driving. I didn't even like saying that right there, but it is. They didn't cause me to be angry. Angry's already there, and they just exposed it. Yeah. Hey, Ben, find a new place to wow, bro. We haven't been kicked out of church in a while, but it's still going to happen. Temperate, prudent. That means diligent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Not addicted to wine or pugnacious. That word pugnacious means that you quarrel and fight easy. You like it. You like a fight. But you must be gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own house well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Some of you in your parenting think that this just must be bad and you must be failing. But I'm telling you that God used our parenting a lot to teach us how to manage his house. And he's going to teach you that way. Some of you think that you're failing when you're teaching because, and we did. We had four kids. And it was almost like playing demon, who's got the demon? All right, this kid, we totally cast it out of him. We got him free, finally. Definitely had a demon in him. We're about ready to send him home to you, Lord, really fast. Finally, he straightened up. Life's going to be good. And then the next day, here it was in one of the other boys. And I got frustrated with this, and I thought, God, this is crap. It just feels like I get this taken care of, and it manifests in the next one. And the Lord said this to me. Hey, I'm only letting it happen in one at a time. I'm holding it off. There are things that you need to deal with in your boys and that you need to deal with in your own life and be glad I'm not letting it happen through all four of them at the same time. I said, thank you, Jesus. Because if it happened in all four of them, Julie and I, we would wait to see our children in heaven. You're going to be taught through your family. Don't think that raising your kids and going through what you're going through with your family is a waste of time ever. First of all, you are building something phenomenal. You are putting time into the next generation. And I am telling you this, they are going to have to stand with light more strong than you or I did. This generation right now today, they are struggling with things that I never thought of struggling with. And the next generation is going to have new things. You're not wasting your time building the kingdom in your kids. Second of all, even if you work through the troubles that you're working through, I'm just telling you, I am more peaceful right now because I raised kids. I am more unshakable because I raised kids. So don't think that you're going through a waste of time. If a man doesn't know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert so that he will not become conceited, fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. If you're young, you're going to have to overcome condemnation. Does everybody understand that? You're going to have to deal with condemnation because it's going to try and be put on you by the enemy. He's the condemner. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. He goes on and just extends this to another level of leadership. He says, deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued and addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested. Everybody say tested. There's nothing wrong with that. I just want you to stop and say this with me. The devil isn't in my life right now. God's training me. Say it again. The devil isn't the one causing it. God is allowing it to train me. Everything that happens to me goes through his hand first. And he's building something strong in me that I would never build on my own. Use that as a mantra. Stop blaming everything and stop whining and stop running. That is your mantra. God is building something in me. Yes, he exposed the weak area. Yes, you want to hide under the couch. Yes, you want to spend your time curled up in the bathroom crying. I understand that. I've been there. Okay? He's building something strong in you. When he gets done with you, you are going to be the most wicked thing to the enemy on this earth and the most valuable gift in the kingdom. So you're being tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are above reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. I just want to throw in here, he includes women as a part of leadership. Everybody understand that? The things women aren't supposed to speak in church. On that one, dear Lord, we've got some powerful weapons in this church, and they are women, and we don't want to lock them up. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own household. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is Christ Jesus. Very good stuff right there. I want to say this secondly, and I'm going to close. While the Joshuas were fighting, I said this last week, Moses was on the mountain. That is the position of the prayers. If you've been called to pray over this house, know that you're going to watch things and do not watch them by the natural. Give them grace to learn. Give everybody grace to learn. Everyone, if you're a gift here and that gift over there, maybe they're learning and they're not doing it the best right now, but they're going to learn. And take my word on this one. You can trust them because God's got them here at this time for this purpose. Trust them. Trust their heart. Let them learn. If you see them fall short, pick them up. Prayers, God's going to give you eyes on some very, very big mess up things. And you're going to see them before they ever happened. And you just pray over them, extend grace into them. If you see an area that God needs to deal with, you pray for it. But pray and pray with grace. There's some development that needs to go on in here. The reason that I believe that the Lord is moving me and going to have me out away from here a number of weeks in the month for the next while is because it would be hard for them to step into a role if I were here. But I'm going to be gone. I'm going out this next 2 weeks, and I'm going to discuss when we're going to start the English service out there. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be praying over things. We're going to introduce it to the people. We're going to figure out a time, and we're moving forward with it, the service out there. Lastly, I want to say this. To those who pick up the mantle, expect to do double of what you've seen. Expect double. Everybody say double.
Double.
Say it like you mean it, like you're going to receive it. Double.
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 You look to yourself and you expect double to come out of you. It is not arrogant for you to go, you know what? We're going to do twice as much as Pastor Bob did. That's not arrogant. That's just stating what's about to happen. This house, you're going to fill this house up, and you're going to have to figure out a place to go. You might have to have multiple servants. I'm just telling you that a harvest is about ready to happen here, and God's already arranging it. I want to speak to those. The Bible says those with weak hands, strengthen them. Strengthen your legs. It's your time. Stop doubting yourself. Strengthen yourself and begin to walk with confidence. Elijah did 8 recorded miracles. Elisha did 16. Look at this in 2 Kings chapter 2. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. They're talking about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah took his mantle, folded it together, he struck the waters, and they were divided here and there so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. That's why I said it's not wrong to ask it. Ask it. Demand it. Start receiving double right now. Elisha wasn't afraid of it. Elijah said to them, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. I said, God, what did that mean? And he said, there's always a sorting. And as long as Elisha did not run from his position and stayed with Elijah and he saw him when he departed, he got the double. Many of you could have ran. Many of you could have stopped. Many of you could have quit. You were tempted to. How many of you were tempted to quit over the last 10 years? How many of you heard it in your head, I'm done with this crap? How many of you wanted to run, to leave, to get off? Some of you were, Papa had you doing something different here or there. Corey told me here a number of weeks back, he said, hey, I'm sorry I missed, you know, for a little while. I said, brother, you are exactly where the Lord meant for you to be, and we never looked at you one bit different. You were still a part of us. There might be still some that come in, but you didn't quit. And you're here to see Elijah go. Double! I want to say this too. Don't specify the gifts as something that is only this or this. You might be called to the business world. You might be called to finance things. I know some of you are going through a little struggle right now, maybe in a business that you have. Declare supernatural wealth over that business so you can supply the kingdom. God will test you. He'll test you. He'll see where your heart really is. Verse 11, as they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. I want to say this. The current vessel that you're wearing won't get you. Watch what's about to happen. He tore his own clothes. He also, verse 13, took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the banks of Jordan. Pick the mantle up. Pick up the mantle. Pick it up. And I love this. Watch what he does. He immediately starts testing that mantle out. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he watched it. He struck the waters and said, where's the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Man. There's supernatural anointing in that.